What's up, everyone? This is Mike Cashew, and you're listening to the Brute Strength Podcast. This week, I interview CrossFit Games athlete Jacob Heppner, who recently suffered a knee injury that has put him out for the year. And I know this is really common, and a lot of people can relate to this, you know, being taken out after putting in so much work. So we talk about how he has overcome this obstacle and even used it to his advantage, how he's overcome the feelings of disappointment, and how he's going to take that and use it in his training going forward. We talk about mental toughness, we talk about overcoming pressure, and we talk about how building a community of like-minded individuals that push you can lead to so much more success. If you have a question that you want answered related to health and fitness, mindset, business, etc., please don't hesitate to call in. I absolutely love being able to connect with you guys and answer your questions, or having friends of mine that are experts help me answer your questions. So if you're interested, call into the hotline at 801-449-0503. That's 801-449-0503. Enjoy the show. What's up, everyone? This is Mike Cashew, and you're listening to the Brute Strength Podcast. I'm here with CrossFit Games athlete Jacob Heppner. Jake, I know your season ended short, but you've got a lot of stuff going on in your life, and I appreciate you making some time to do this for me, man.
Hey, appreciate it. Yeah, thanks for having me.
So I want to start off here, you know, really just dive straight down into the weeds. You play a lot of Call of Duty. I know this, you know, through the grapevine. How would you describe your style of play?
I think I would describe it as try to irritate the guys I work out with. So usually we go back to my house. We got it hooked up in the basement. We go back to my house like 5 or 6. We start our second session at like 6:30 usually. So usually we have 30 minutes to 45 minutes to play. Usually we just irritate each other a lot, scream, throw stuff, and then we go work out. It's usually honestly a good like warm up.
I love it, man. So in general, you have like a very playful attitude, like really lighthearted. And I've always admired this, but especially as of late with in regards to your injury. So I'm wondering, have you always been kind of this lighthearted and accepting? Where does that come from?
Yeah. So, I usually had it my whole life. I like to have a good time. So, you know, CrossFit's awesome. And it's amazing. But when the end all be all, it's not like, yeah, I make money off of it and it's a hobby and it's great, but I have a full-time job. So when it comes down to it, like it's not my full focus of life, right? And when it comes down to it, if I focus on it so much and it becomes so serious and so stressful, like why is it, it's not a hobby anymore. It's not any fun. Like, so in 2014, I think it was my first year at the CrossFit Games, and the strength workout, the second workout of the games, was an overhead squat. Max. And back then I think I crushed 285 like a champ. Nice. I was actually in the lane next to Jason Kalipa, and we were talking about it. We were laughing and joking. He goes, you know, dude, he's like, I appreciate you just laughing and having a good time. He's like, don't ever forget, like, just have a good time when you're doing it. Like, it, when it comes down to it, it's just a hobby. It's just a sport. It's just for fun. And he nailed on the head. I didn't go in there thinking differently, but he just kind of agreed with me, and I felt agreed upon, and it was good to know that, you know, it is fun and it should be fun, and at certain points it's going to be stressful, but it's good to laugh about.
Do you think that mindset makes you more successful, and specifically kind of what I'm getting at is, do you think, like, you talk about it as a hobby rather than using words like passion or anything like that. Do you think you hold yourself back at all by thinking of it that way?
In no ways. I mean, you can still be passionate about a hobby, right? So I still believe I'm passionate about it. I consider it a hobby because it's, to me, it would be considered a part-time job, I guess. But I don't like to use the word job because then there's connotations, you know, negative connotations in a day of, well, it's a job. Like, I got to wake up at 8 and now I got to go out and work out. Mm-hmm. I'm still passionate about it. I think the way I go about it as happy-go-lucky or having a good time is just the way I've felt I cope well with what we do, right? So I could go into regionals, and if you've ever worked out with me at the games or worked out with me regionals in the back room, you know, I have a good time laughing about the guys who bring their coaches back there and they're all serious and the coach is like, hey, okay, I need you to row 337 meters and, right. You know, do like, you know, get a heart rate up to 111. It's like super stupid. And, you know, like, I just think it's hilarious. And meanwhile, I'm over there. A good warm-up is laughing with Kyle Kaspbauer, you know, making fun of Scott Panchik, or just having a good time with Alex Anderson, or just having a good time and laughing about it, and then going out there. Because when it comes down to it, yeah, I'm competing against these guys on the floor with me. But at the same time, I'm competing against myself in times I already know. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, guys can be stressful, and I've tried that, and it doesn't work for me. And so I prefer to have a joke around, make a bunch of probably inappropriate jokes before we go out there, and then have a good time at it. So, you know.
Yeah, I absolutely love that, man. Have you ever, can you think of a time when you weren't as lighthearted, like maybe an experience that I don't know, you felt you were doubting yourself, you were afraid of failing or something like that, that you struggled keeping that lightheartedness?
I mean, yeah, that happens every now and again. I mean, any workout that comes out in regionals of the games, that's heavy, which is the goal this year, right? So in the past, anything that came out, we're going to have a snatch speed ladder, we're going to have a clean and jerk ladder. Well, I know going in, this isn't going to be my event. So I'm still going to have a good time. But at the same time, I'm still stressed. Like, well, I still have to survive this and do okay at it, you know? And so the goal of this year is to make sure I can go in next year and say, I'm still going to have a good time doing a snatch speed ladder because I know I'm okay at it. I know I'm mm-hmm. much better than I have been in years past.
Right. So tell us about this injury. What exactly happened? And you know, what was it, you know, tell everyone a little bit about what that felt like.
Yeah. So, I think Castro had made the announcement, hey, we're going to have dumbbells. You affiliates, you know, go out and buy yourself dumbbells. And so me and the guys I train with were throwing out random ideas for dumbbell movements we thought we might see. And one of them was lunging with dumbbells, which we actually saw. And so we just decided, you know, we should practice some lunging, and we can do front rack lunges and lunges from the farmer carrier position. We decided to test out overhead lunges because there's a certain bit of mobility in it. So we were lunging a little bit. And honestly, like, I was lunging, didn't think anything about it. You know, obviously you put your knee sleeves on for me and you semi slam your knee in the ground somewhat, you know, and instead of kissing it probably. And it started to get a little tight on me that later that day, and I kept working through it. The next morning I woke up and it was like super stiff and it was swollen up. And so I thought, you know, it's actually my bad knee. I've had ACL surgery, meniscus surgery on this knee before, past during college football. And so it swells up every now and again, happens to me. And I was like, you know what, no big deal. It'll go down. It swells up periodically when I hit it wrong. And man, a couple of days later, just wasn't going down. And finally I was like, well, I need to get this looked at. And I had talked with some of the guys I worked out with that made me thought it was kind of bursitis, because I've had that before in my elbow. But the difference was, when I've had it in my elbow, like, I could still bend my elbow without pain. But the fact of the matter was, for the knee, I just couldn't bend it. I couldn't get below parallel, couldn't get to parallel without pain. And so I went and saw a doctor, chiro, had an MRI, the whole works, and physical therapist. And, you know, just coming to find out, it honestly just needed rest. It needed ice, it needed ibuprofen, and it needed rest. And so when the first workout came out, you know, I was like, well, you know, if it's squatting, it's going to be really hard to do. And what I didn't really think about was, well, a squatting movement is so fundamental to CrossFit that it's in a lot of movements you really don't think about. Rowing is a form of squatting. Mm-hmm. Heck, if I'm doing parallel handstand pushups and they're kipping, I kip down to almost a really deep squat. Mm-hmm. Handstand pushups, wall balls, the whole nine yards, and then come to find out, catching in the top of a box for burpee box jumps does not feel very good at all. And so I tried it. It was painful. And then I made the decision that, you know what, I've done this before in my past. I've tried to push through an injury and finish out a season of football without an ACL. And I did it, but it wasn't worth it in the end. And I said, you know what, this may be a good year to, you know, just, it needs rest. I can push through the open, but it's not going to be good. It's not going to heal up before regionals. And then I'm in more of a deficit.
Right.
And so it's just worth it to take it off, give it a rest. And then obviously this year it's a long off season, but I have a lot of time to improve on huge weaknesses I have. I mean, anytime you ask anybody, oh, what's Jacob Hepburn not good at? Oh, well, that's heavy snatch, heavy clean and jerk. And, you know, if I can fill those gaps, I think I can come back next year and be a lot better. I mean, I don't have to try and survive workouts like that. Instead, I can try to compete and contend in workouts like that. So,
oh yeah. How have you dealt with the feelings of disappointment?
Dealt with those disappointment in conjunction to this injury?
Yes, exactly.
You know, I think the boys that I work out on a consistent basis would say the first week after I couldn't do it, I was in a very upset mood, and just kind of very ticked off continually. My Call of Duty game was probably like on point, but whatever.
Right.
After that, I've kind of realized that it's really, you know, it's not anyone's fault. It's just, it's time to take off and time to focus on other things this year. So, I deal with disappointment very well. I think I still keep my happy-go-lucky mood when it comes to it. I mean, I can sit here and complain and whine as much as I want, but the fact of the matter is, it won't fix my knee. Mm-hmm. And so, it's getting there. I can currently right now actually squat to a box at parallel, and it's not painful. So that's, we're moving in the right direction. So I'm excited to see when it actually gets better and I can actually, you know, start snatching. Be nice. So
I think it's really interesting too. We were texting back and forth a couple weeks ago, right? You know, when this was happening, and you told me immediately that, you know, I could definitely tell that you were bummed. Your responses were different than usual, but you said in there that, you know, you were just looking forward to having the leg up in the off season, right? You have now what, 6 to 8 extra months to prepare for next year. And I was talking to Cole Sager about this recently, about using obstacles as a way to propel you forward rather than hold you back. And it sounds like that's just where your mind immediately went. Is that something you consciously thought of, or how did that come about?
Well, I think it was honestly the first thing that popped in my head. I thought the first thing was, well, this sucks. Like, I've put in, first thing that comes to my head is, well, I've spent since August till now working. And so all that tends to go to moot. I mean, especially when it comes to working on the engine, right? Because I mean, the engine's going to go away, but it'll come back later. But, and the next thought was, you know what? Yeah, I could look at this negatively, but now I've got essentially a whole stinking year to improve on stuff. When in actuality, most CrossFit Games athletes will get done, you know, July 19th, July 26th. They take a week off. They don't really start up right away very fast. And then we have, what, 4 months to improve? And it really sucks after a couple of years. It's like, I can't really improve on something in 4 months. It's very hard to do. I mean, it's one thing if my weaknesses were, I can't do burpees very fast, or I have a low engine. Okay, that's one thing to work on. That's easy to fix in 4 months. But when it comes down to raw strength, that's just so hard to fix in 4 months when the opens are right around the corner. And so I've got a whole month to fix that, and I'm looking forward to that, and you know, the opportunity is going to give me to fix that.
No doubt about it, man. And that's just the best way to look at any kind of obstacle. Just find some way that you can use that to your advantage. I think it's really admirable that your head went there so quickly.
Yeah. Thanks.
So you're kind of known, you're notorious for the amount of volume that you do throughout the year. I think we were talking about on the last live cast that we did together, kind of your progression up to that, right? You started out like everyone else, just doing one workout in the class, and then it built to 2 and then 3. And then now you do 27 workouts every day.
On the hour.
On the hour. Yes. They actually, have you ever heard of people doing that?
I have. You know, to be quite honest, I've always thought it'd be cool to be like, hey, I did Fran once every hour for 24 hours. But I mean,
you won't do it.
Yeah, that'd be stupid. I mean, obviously, Nick won't let me do that. Nick would probably just cut me and be like, no, you're done, dude. I can't work.
Oh, man. So I'm wondering, you know, it's something that we talk about a lot in this community. Too many people are kind of jumping into this high volume training much too soon. And so I'm curious, what are your thoughts on who it's good for and who it's not? Like how do people know when they should train like you, for instance?
Yeah. So I think you're weighing two different things, right? So it comes back to the base argument of, well, it's intensity versus volume, right? And you have to play a fine game there. When I started off, I'm just showing up once a day, and then I became, involved in it. But I came with a base, right? Because I played college ball, and we ran, did a lot of sprints, and did a lot of stuff, and I was still very involved in the weight room. Now, you wouldn't call it CrossFit, but what does it matter? It's still metabolic conditioning in some form. And so started out with that, and then, I did a lot of volume. That's great when you go to regionals, and it's great when you go to the games. But for some instances, it can actually bite you in the butt. Now, the open is one workout over the course of, 3 days, whatever. And volume is a great tool to have in your back pocket if you do the workout four times. I mean, right. If you have to. But if you're only doing it once and you only got one shot at it, then you need the intensity there. And I think I fought that battle in the first couple of years I did this was the idea of, what's more important here? And when it comes to if you look at past games, regionals, performances, right now, you can kind of see that. Like, I'm great at volume, but when it comes down to intensity, it kind of bites you in the butt. Examples are, I can go into regionals in first place at the end of every work, at the last day. I'm great with volume. I'm not sore, but it usually comes down to the last workout is usually a sprint. Mm-hmm. Unless that sprint is God-given to me, hey, we're going to do pistols and pull-ups, then I'm usually going to have a hard time beating Scott Panchik at it, And that's where I usually would fall short.
Right.
And that's happened to me, every last workout of the games and regionals is usually a sprint because everyone wants to watch something cool at the end. Mm-hmm. And so that's always happened to me. And so it's a learning process for that. But I think you have to weigh it out. I mean, volume only gets you so far. And so.
So it kind of sounds like, if we're going with what you're talking about here, that people who need to prioritize the open probably don't need the same amount of volume.
No, yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, if they're trying to make it to regionals and they're probably going to do the workout more than once, which I've seen, then you probably need to have some form of volume in your back pocket. You need to be able to recover over a day and do the workout the next day. But I would say more focus on intensity because you're only going to usually do it once. And usually open workouts are very intense and very short, usually.
Right.
So
you're also kind of notorious for being just incredibly you have a really high pain tolerance. And actually, Matt Bruce was telling me when you went down and did bucket eights, he was like, and we've taken a lot of games athletes through that, and some that in the community would say, I won't name this person specifically, but some that people would say have, just incredible engines, and you blasted everybody out of the water. What do you attribute that? I know part of it is you're definitely genetically gifted in terms of endurance and predisposition to that, but what do you attribute that kind of mental toughness to? Where do you get that from?
Well, I'd say I was good at bucket eights because I have a low one rep max and I work very well at 80%. I think that's what I would attribute you.
You're a woman.
Yeah, exactly. I'm terrible at one rep maxes. Always lose those, but give me 80% and I'm golden. I think so when I first started, I did all the programming by myself for many years. I think my first 2 years I did programming by myself. And then last year, or the year before, I should say, I did through HyperFit. And throughout all those years, I think what a lot of people do when they program for themselves is they tend to do stuff they feel comfortable with, right? So I'm really good at pistols. So every day I'm going to do pistols because I feel awesome about it. Mm-hmm. And I think what you need to come to find out is that's not going to get you anywhere, right? I saw a lot of guys do that. And year in and year out, they come to the North Central Regionals and they'd crush the one rep max snatch ladder and they'd crush the heavy weights, but they wouldn't be good at anything else. Even if they did the same, type of workout the year before, they wouldn't have improved. And it's easy to work on stuff you're good at, but it's the hardest thing to work on stuff you suck at on a day in, day out basis. Mm-hmm. I think that's where I attribute it to is, what am I stink at? Well, I stink at, right now I can't snatch, but if I could, I would. But, last year was a lot of deadlifts. It was a lot of barbell cycling, to be honest. I was terrible at barbell cycling in 2015. and spent a lot of time actually learning and then working with Zach Caracetti, works out here with me too. He's great at it, and so I learned a lot from him. And we had double DT the games, and I took fourth just because, you know, you spend a lot of time cycling barbells and learning and working on weaknesses, and come to find out it's going to be used later on down the road. Mm-hmm. So honestly, it's just spending time working on goats. What are you not good at? I call them goats. I don't know why that, where that came from, but I just kind of suck at goats. Maybe it's because I don't like goats. I don't know.
Yeah, I've never heard that use of the word.
Working on them goats. It's got to slay those goats, Michael.
Speaking of Zach, man, he is crushing it right now, huh?
Yeah, he's crushing it. But I've already reminded him on a daily basis how many points I had last year in the Open at the end, and that he's still in second place. I got to tack some trash. Yeah, he's doing really well. Yeah, he's doing a good job. We knew he'd finish the snatch workout, and of mm-hmm. course he did. It'd be hard pressed right now if I was actually doing the Open if I was healthy and doing the Open for me to actually beat him, because I would have probably gotten quite a bit more points on that snatch workout than he would have. So
right, there's just no way of knowing though.
Exactly. So it's I'm gonna say I'm winning. Yeah. I'm just gonna claim, but probably not.
Yep.
So you have.
I guess I've seen it in a couple other places, but you have, you guys have, you know, huge groups that get together to train occasionally, right? Everybody comes out, I guess, to your farm. Is that where all of those throwdowns happen?
Well, yeah. So I got guys from all over that usually come in, but I actually work 24/7 with three other guys, right? So I've got myself, Zach Caracetti, who went to the games last year, Andrew Kuechler, who's been to the regionals. How many times have you been? Five times? Six. So it's like Old Man River. And then I've got another gentleman, Colton Blackburn, who's from the East Coast, mm-hmm. who showed up. And this is his first year doing the Open. I think he did it last year, but I think he didn't know what it was. So I'm claiming this is his first year.
Nice.
And so, yeah, so they're here. We work out 24/7. They come to my house every day. It's like my wife claims that we have three sons. And then we have a lot of guys from around the Kansas City area that come hang out and work out with us all the time too. We got Chandler Smith, who you of course know, kind of like chopped his finger off somehow. And so he's out for this year's Open.
Oh shit.
Yeah. He comes down, he lives, he's stationed about an hour and a half south of me, I think 2 hours. So he comes up about once a week sometimes and works out with us. And then I've got Jack Long, who's also a North Central guy, up north of us by about 40 minutes. He comes down every now and again. So I've got a pretty good group. And then every year we usually have guys from the East Coast come out. I'm really good friends with Nathan Bramlett and then Noah Olson. You know, every now and again we all get together and work out. So, yeah.
That's awesome, man. And how did it all start?
Yeah, so 2013, 2014, 2015, I worked by myself. Didn't have anybody. I decided, you know what, this is stupid. I'm tired of working out by myself. I should find some more guys who want to work out with me that are lighthearted and want to have a good time. And so 2015 at regionals in Ohio, no, not in Ohio, in Minnesota, wherever the heck that was. I was sitting at a Compex booth, sitting right next to Zach Caracetti in the Compex booth. I think we like just got done with like Randy or something with our forearms. And I was sitting there just talking to him because I knew he was a competitor. And sitting there talking, I was like, I kind of liked him. He's a good guy. He's funny. And I said, Zach, what are you doing right now? And he's like, you know, I just finished school. I coach. And that's pretty much it. I said, so you're done with school? He goes, yeah. I go, so you have a job? He goes, well, I coach at a gym. I said, do you have a girlfriend? He goes, no. I said, you should just move down. You should just move down here where I'm at. We'll find you someplace to live. You can live in my basement if you want to for a little bit, because we've got house, and you should come and train for a whole year. And so like a week afterwards, wow. He called me up. He's like, hey dude, if you were serious, I'm serious about coming down. So he showed up, and then I thought it was awesome. So I actually put a Facebook post out about, if you're a dude in the North Central or anywhere else and you want a training partner, come down here and we'll figure something out. And I got an email or a message a couple hours later from a guy named Andrew Kuechler, who's been to regionals many years in a row. And so he showed up a week after that. And then it was me, Zach, and Andrew for about, I'd say 3/4 of a year. And then Colton sent the gym an email. It was like, hey, I know Jacob trains there with a bunch of guys. I know he sometimes pulls people to work out with him. I wouldn't mind coming and working out. And I think he didn't expect someone to respond back to him, but I responded back to him. I was like, because I obviously have Facebook creeped him, and had him come on out. And so we've been here, you know, since last April. We've all four of us been together for a whole year. We spend the morning session, that night session, almost every afternoon and weekend together. So
that's badass, man.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So we do this thing where if you want to come train, you got to come spend a weekend with us. And we essentially call it the douche test, right? We have you show up, we test you out. We want to make sure you're not a douchebag, right? Like, we want to make sure you're not like a negative Nancy, but like you suck at Call of Duty really bad, or, you know, you drive a Prius, which I do, but you know, it's okay. You know, just stuff like that. So anyways, we always laugh about that because, you know, we always test people to see if they're actually worthwhile spending time with, you know?
Yeah. I like to, I'm thinking of you and Zach there. Did one of you say, like, turn to the other and say, nice pump, bro?
No. What are you talking about?
Nice forearm pump, bro.
Oh yeah. No, I don't think I said that. I think we were different.
Like, I want to talk to this guy. How do I initiate this conversation?
Yeah, no, I think it was actually our parents sat next to each other the year before at regionals.
My
parents knew his parents, and they're always like, yeah, we said it to Zach's parents. And I'm like, Zach, who? I'm like, who are you talking about? Like, who's this Zach guy? And then his mom came up to me at the Compex booth and was like, hey, Jacob, I'm Kathy. I'm Zach's mother. I sat next to your parents. I was like, oh, I've heard about you. Nice to meet you. And she's like, oh, here's my son, Zach, sitting right next to you. So Zach didn't even introduce himself. His mom did. So, you know.
I love it, man.
Yeah. Thank God for moms.
I think it's it is talked about often, this idea of having, you know, stellar training partners, but I see it so often that people are just afraid. I don't know. I don't really know what it is. People are either afraid or maybe even just like standoffish with people in their community, and they just don't reach out. So I'll see, you know, several like kick-ass guys or girls in the same city. They're all working out alone when they could be working out together. And we look at a lot of the best in the sport, like your group, Froning's group, Invictus, what we had back in the day in Salt Lake City, like great people train together. Do you have anything to say, like encouraging people to do that, or how do you think they should go about that?
Yeah, I think it's the best decision I ever made, right? It just came into my head one time and I'm like, I'm trying to be by myself. And one of the best decisions I've made in the sport was, one, getting married, because I'm forced to say that, and I totally wholeheartedly believe it. but also, two, was saying, you know what, this is stupid. I'm tired of being by myself. Now, granted, is there an advantage to being in a, you know, the gym by yourself, putting your head down, doing the work? Of course. I wholeheartedly believe in that. I think you need to have a base in that. I think you shouldn't have to depend on other people being there. But at the same time, if you've done that before and you've done years of that, you know what it's like, and it can be sometimes boring. But I think you should be self-motivated. You shouldn't have to depend upon someone else to be there to push you. But it's awesome having people to train with. But when it comes down to it is, you know, this is a sport where training together, there has huge advantages to it. And this sounds super douchey saying it, but what I told the guys in the very beginning, I said, look, I want you to come down and train with me. The fact of the matter is, I don't want you to come down and train with me if I can beat you at everything. And it sounds super douchey to say, but the fact of the matter is, you have guys come train with you. I mean, the camaraderie is awesome, but you want to improve at something. What's Zach good at? Zach's great at one rep maxes. He's amazing at barbell cycling. You know, what's Andrew good at? Andrew has an engine for days. I think his engine's better than mine. He's great at rowing, great at monostructural work. What's Colton good at? Colton's great at aerosol bike. It makes us look stupid. And great at farmer carries because he has big hands. So you want to pull in people that will make you improve. Now, does it always have to be make you improve in weightlifting or gymnastics or the CrossFit realm? No. Maybe it's sometimes they make me improve mentally. Maybe they make me think more about myself. And so, but that's my douchey outlook on it, is I'm not going to pull someone in that they have nothing to offer me. Someone has something to offer you. They just have to figure out what it is. And so I've told that to people, like, hey, I'm going to let you know. I'm going to let you come train with me and work out for a day. We'll see what it's like. But I don't let people come work out with me if you can't offer something to our group. Maybe not just me, but maybe to Zach or Andrew. And that turns people off. And that's fine. You know, if you can't take a a serious conversation, then we're, you know, it's not going to work in the end.
Sure, man. I love what you said too about it's not necessarily what they can do for you physically every time. Sometimes people just like someone just brings that lighthearted attitude, or maybe they, you know, they're always the one that's pumping everybody up. Yeah. That stuff is very valuable as well. But I think it's so wise to require that they bring something to the table, because you only have so much bandwidth in terms mm-hmm. of relationships you can have, and you also don't want someone in your group that is potentially taking away from the group, just taking and no giving. That's a recipe for disaster.
Oh, agreed. Yeah, I only have a certain amount of time, a certain amount of space, certain amount of equipment, certain amount of my time to give, and I want to make sure the people I give it to and the three guys I have are the guys I love giving to and spending my time with. And so it's, I want to make sure the guys I have, or girls in that sense, you know, in terms of throning and having females there, that they're there for the whole group and to give. Mm-hmm. So it's great.
What is something that you've removed from your life or your training that you think has most benefited you in terms of performance? Something like that you just took out of your life?
My wife didn't like that I was playing like games on my phone. I got rid of those. Oh gosh. I don't know. That's a good question. What did I remove? Honestly, I don't really, I think I've, I ever since I've started this CrossFit thing, whatever you want to call it, in 2013, I've always had a full-time job. So I've always had a job. It's never, you know, I've always had a full-time job. I haven't removed that. I've added a wife, I guess. I've really honestly not removed anything. I think I've just stuck to what I've had in the beginning. I think Nick would like me to remove more Metcons, which I'm slowly getting into slowly. It's very hard for me to give up, but I'm slowly letting my hands open up a little bit.
Why do you think that is? Why does he want you to do that?
That is because my aerobic threshold and all the aerobic work I do is bringing down the work I put into on the barbell or my base strength, raw strength. So, and I totally agree with that. I mean, nothing about that is even remotely wrong. Last year, we're shooting guns at the house, and me being an idiot decided I'm just going to shoot this pistol. It's like somebody's cat run across our property. So of course I was going to shoot at it. Right. And so, whipped out this pistol, started shooting at it, and wasn't wearing earplugs, and like got a huge headache. Didn't go away. Come to find out, kind of pathetic, but I got a concussion from the pistol in my ear. Shit. Yeah, I've had concussions a couple times, so I guess I'm susceptible to them. And so I couldn't breathe heavy, or like spike my heart rate, I should say, for a couple weeks. Well, in those couple weeks, I couldn't do a Metcon, and yeah, I put like 30 pounds on my clean. So does it work? For sure, it works. It's very hard for me to, I think for most people, it's hard to give up, to let someone else take control. And for me, especially, I like being a leader of the group. I like mm-hmm. leading and being in the front. And so it's very hard for me to give up. And that's what I'm learning slowly. I'm learning to trust and say, you know what? They've got my best intentions in mind. They know what they're doing. And, you know, slowly and slowly, I'm getting used to the idea of, okay, I'm just going to follow suit and we're going to see what happens and see, you know, the best course of action. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, man. We're stoked to see what you can do with this extra time for sure. Yeah,
sure.
How do you deal with a scenario talking about like in competition? How do you deal with a scenario where you feel like maybe you're getting, let's say you get a bunch of no reps and you think they're good reps and you just think the judging is bullshit. How do you deal with a scenario like that?
Honestly, I don't, you know, I really never had been in that scenario. Well, you got to figure you can either complain there and waste your time or just keep going ahead and doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. How do I deal with maybe disappointment in terms of competition is maybe a better question I can answer. And that is in 2016 regionals, all the workouts came out, and day one was that snatch speed ladder. Day one was snatch speeds ladder and regional main, and day two was pull ups and wall balls, pistols and power cleans, then deadlift, running, and GHDs. And then the next day we had some more stuff. And to me, it was, oh, let's get the strength out early. Like I wasn't going to be good with snatch ladder. I already know that. I hate strict muscle ups. I still do. And I still know that. And, but day two and day three were awesome. It was all CrossFit, quote unquote, in my books. And so after day one, I was sitting in 13th place. And now to most people trying to qualify and going in fifth place, that's disappointing. And, you know, to a degree, I was kind of like, well, this kind of stinks a little bit. But you know what? You have to keep your head up and say, you know what? Tomorrow's going to be my stinking day. Like, it's all CrossFit. We got pistols, hallelujah, and pull-ups, and we're gonna have a great time. And that's what happened. So they go out there and have a good time. You can't get your head down about a no rep here and there. Personally, my rule of thumb is I should be going fast enough that I should probably get one no rep. I should probably get warned, and that's how fast you should probably be going. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't go out and try to get no reps, but, you know, maybe a part of me tries. I don't know.
How do you deal with, I don't know, mistakes or failure? What's your response?
Mistakes or failure? Well, you know, I'm still pretty happy-go-lucky and having a good time. And, you know, when it comes down to it, if I fail in this sport or I have disappointment in this sport, it doesn't affect my life, right? I mean, I am not defined by what happens in these four walls that they call a box, right? I'm not defined by what my snatch is or my Fran time. I'm defined by who I am, mm-hmm. and what I do. And the fact that I have a wife at home, I try to hold a full-time job, try to do all these things, try to go to school. And so I'm defined by the things I do. And I don't want to be remembered as someone who is negative or disappointed in failure. I mean, like we talked about, disappointment of not being able to compete this year blows. I mean, watching the Open ticks me off when fun workouts like 17.2 come up. Mm-hmm. But now 17.3, notice I didn't say that. But you're defined by how you respond to stimulus like that. And I think I've responded well in the fact that, you know, this is great. There's positives in this. I can spend a year fixing things. I'll come back next year better. No worries. So that's usually how I respond.
How do you manage the pressure of other people, your own expectations as well as others, like your wife, friends, family, fans, all of that?
These are really in-depth questions, Michael. I have never really thought about that. I think, it's good. It is stressful, right? So people seem to think, oh, you know, your first year you qualified for the games in 2014 and next year you're going to be fine. Well, people have these expectations you're going to qualify again. And there is stress in that, right? And I think that's, to be honest, I think that's what Zach's learning now is in 2016, he qualified for his rookie year at the games. And now people are like, oh, you went to the games 2016. So when you come in the regionals in 2017, you should be fine. You have like a foot in. Well, sure, right. You know some stuff. You're more wise. Oh, sure. But there's a lot of stress because people do expect it. And that stress is there. That stress is real, and I cannot doubt that. That exists. And it is stressful in times, but you still can't let that get you down, right? I mean, I'm trying to be the best I can be. Now, whether that gets me a spot to go to the games or not, I want to look back and say to myself, well, I gave it my – in 2018, if I don't stand on the top five in regionals, I want to know, I spent all 365 days of my offseason doing the best I can. Now, if I can't make that spot, that's just because the other guys, whatever it wasn't in my cards or they outworked me or whatever. Well, they're not going to outwork me, but it wasn't in the cards.
Right.
And so, just how it's going to be, I guess.
Do you have a feel for how you'll see some people, they'll say in Zach's case, right? They qualify in their rookie year and then they come back the next year and do terribly, right? They let the pressure get to them and kind of overcome them. Do you have a feel for why that happens and what people should do about that to counteract that?
I think one of the biggest things that will happen is complacency, right? It's the idea of, well, I made the games. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to do the same thing this year. Well, that's not true. Everyone else is going to try to outwork you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you're a complacent games athlete, it's not very hard to outwork you at all, And so I think complacency is the number one just straight killer of people's dreams of making it back to the games. Now, if it's really actually your dream, you're going to not be passionate about it. You're going to be up in the morning. You're going to be up late at night. I mean, we spend we usually are done working out at nine, some, you know, getting ready for the games. Usually our sessions ended at 10:30 at night. Mm-hmm. And it's just an all day affair because the goal is I don't want to be complacent and I don't want to be outworked. So I think that's the worst one is just complacency.
So. Amen, man. All right. Let's finish it up with these, some rapid fire questions.
So golden.
Just finish the sentence. Okay. Or just say the first word that comes to mind on this, on the last one, especially. In 2 years, I want to be.
Oh crap. I want to have my pilot's license. Just made that up.
Pilot's license.
Yeah. Well, I started it, but I never finished it because CrossFit's too takes too much time.
Okay. And is that something that you think you'll end up finishing?
Yeah, I think it'd be very hard. My wife wants me to get it because she thinks I look hot in aviators. Nice. So anyway, yeah.
That's great, man. I think you could probably, you know, take care of that fantasy rather
getting my license, right? It's like $5,000 to do it.
Yeah.
Aviators are $5.
If I was a woman, I would
wear booty shorts because I have a big butt.
Word. Oh man. Mentor.
I don't know. Nothing comes to my head.
Who is a big mentor in your life currently or in the past that you, you know, really have looked up to and respected?
If we're talking about the sport, I would say anything. I probably don't have one, probably in a mentor in the sport, but if we're talking about life, it'd definitely be my father. So I wasn't sure, I guess, what the actual topic was. So I actually grew up homeschooled for 8 years of my life. And my mom and my dad were essentially my teachers, you know. And so I was very close to my parents. So, yeah, I'd say my dad or mom.
Very, very, very interesting. What was the, if you don't mind me asking, what was kind of the process, like the style of
school? Yeah. So I was born and raised in the state of California for about 16 years of my life. And where we lived, the school district was terrible. And I think most of that state is terrible personally. And so my mom was like, you know what? We're going to homeschool our kids. And, you know, it's a kudos to the parents that can homeschool their kids because it's such a burden, right? I mean, one of the parents usually isn't working, which in a two-income family, you make 50% less money. And so my mom was my sister and I's full-time teacher. And from preschool all the way up to eighth grade, the only reason I went to high school was to play sports. So I'm your prototypical super nerdy antisocial homeschooler. I'm kidding, right? There are people out there that got homeschooled that aren't bad and aren't weird. You know, we were homeschooled and under the right circumstances, you know, my mom did an awesome job. We went to high school and it was super easy. So
that's really cool, man. I had no idea.
Yeah. Total nerd.
Well, hey man, I really appreciate your time. This was phenomenal. It was cool kind of getting to dive in to, you know, the way you think and process all of this stuff that's going on.
Yeah, appreciate it, Michael. Thanks so much.
Absolutely, man. You have a great day.
You too, dude.